Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, we're so glad to be with you. And of course, we've gone through this week with all kinds of trials and temptations. But as the scripture says, the Lord hath delivered us from them all, and he will deliver us from the ones that we have. And I know some of you have gone through a lot of things out there, but we thank the Lord. Jesus says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we've seen the Lord work many times and help us. And even getting here today was a major problem. But it seems like that the Lord worked everything out so that we got going. But we are dedicated to the belief that we have God's Word. And a lot of people talk like the Bible is the authority, but they don't have a Bible. They talk about the originals, and the Bible says, though, that thy word have I hid in my heart. It's just as pure today because it says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. That's the Word of God. We can look at it, see? And so the Bible says it's perfect, it's good, it's true. And we have experienced the blessings of it, the blessing of salvation, which comes through knowing God's word, the blessing of peace. The Bible says, thou keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, and thou will keep them in perfect peace. That the ones that love the law of God, they love the word of God. And I just tell you, in my own experience, that I've gone, in, as anybody else has, through difficulties, trials, and temptations that come on regularly. But on the other hand, I read that Bible, and when I read it, it says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And so God gives us peace through reading this word. I mean, it's supernatural. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And Jesus is with us through his words. And the Bible teaches that. He says, if you're ashamed of me and my words, you know, and talks about letting the word of God dwell in you. So Christ was here in the flesh, but he is here today in the living word of God, the Bible says, which liveth and abideth forever. And that is his words, which he talks to us. So we can carry on a conversation with them. We read, he talks to us in the Bible, and then we, in prayer, we answer back. You know, we say, it says, in everything rejoice, and then we can say, Lord, I rejoice in the fact that you love me. You died for all of my sins. You paid for all of them, and one day I will see you without any record that I've ever sinned, and I thank you for your love because you just told me that you love me, and I love you back, So we can have Christ with us. The word of God, the Bible says, liveth and abideth forever. And the Bible says, thy word is true from the beginning. But we're going to have our science report right away, but then we're going to talk about the role of the devil in relationship to the word of God. And I noticed recently on television, it seems like a number of preachers are talking about the devil, but they miss one of the important things, the main goal of Satan and the devil. So we'll be talking about that in a few minutes after we have our science report.
Well, thank you, Bruce. Good to be with you this week. And I just want to remind people that they can go online and visit your webpage, whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And if they go there, in addition to finding out a little bit more about you and the program, they can also listen to past programs there. And there's some other materials that are on there, some preaching and teaching, and also some parts of you singing on whereisgodsword.com. There's also some links to some of the various reference materials, various materials you've talked about in the past, and they can find all that at whereisgodsword.com. Well, I wanted to look at something today, and I had kind of got intrigued. This is a couple weeks ago. I've been kind of busy here with going out to the Summit County Fair and Medina County Fair and different things like that, so haven't had a chance to do much more with this, but I've been reading about these figurines that were found in Mexico, and they're called the Acamboro figurines. They're these clay or ceramic figurines that were found that in the 1940s. In 1944, Waldemar Jarlsrud had found a number of these figurines, and then in the 1950s, around 52, 53, Charles DePesco went in and began examining these figurines to determine whether they were authentic or whether they were fakes. And the reason for the question was that these figurines showed what we would commonly call dinosaurs today. And this got me thinking, because in the book of Job, chapter 40 and chapter 41 in particular, there is very definitely what would seem to be a accurate description of dinosaurs that lived in the time of human beings, certainly in the time of Job. Now, back to the figurines, they had done some testing on the figurines and came to the idea that the figurines perhaps were 3,000 or more years old, possibly dated back. Some of the tests dated them to about 2,500, 2,700 B.C., and they did a variety of tests on these, and then one of the figurines was revealed to the testers to be a dinosaur figurine. And they said, oh, well, then those dates cannot be correct. They must have been made in the early 40s, just a few years before they were dug up. Now, just seems to me that's a pretty big standard of error, I guess, to go from they were made a few years ago to a few, you know, thousands of years ago. But the key was, when they found out they were figurines of dinosaurs, they said, well, then they can't have been made. They were just made recently. And that's where this guy, Charles DePesco, tried to disprove them. He thought that they were Mexicans that had seen, you know, pictures of dinosaurs and cartoons or movies or something, and they made these up. And that's the explanation for them, despite the fact of the previous indications that they were quite a bit older. And we've seen similar things like this, the soft tissue in dinosaurs, where they actually have tendons that are still springy, and moist blood marrow from the in some of the thigh bones or the larger bones like that. And they ignored them for years, because obviously dinosaurs lived millions and millions of years ago. And if they lived millions and millions of years ago, and the only thing we have is fossils, you couldn't possibly have soft tissue in dinosaur bones, could you? Because as anybody knows, you leave a bone lying out in the ground for a while, it dries out, doesn't it? It doesn't preserve soft tissue like that. And fossils are not soft tissue. They're mineralized remains of the actual dinosaur, or the actual remnant of whatever the organism was. But so all these things are kind of interesting, because when they determined that there were too many of them, they had to try and account for how they could be there. I'm reminded of another guy who sent tissue samples and had them dated, and he was getting dates of like, oh, a couple thousand years ago, something like that. And then when he found out that they were actually soft tissue from some of these dinosaur things, as well as other things from other animals, they said, oh no, well, our test must have been wrong. See, but the change doesn't come until they find out that the results would indicate dinosaurs lived with humans. And so, of course, that can't be true, so everything else has to be wrong. Now, in Job chapter 40, and I'm just going to touch on this, I won't read all of the account in 40 and 41, but you can read it in chapter 40 in verse number 15. It says, "Now behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth oxes or grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, the force of it, in his forces, in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar." I always find that interesting. I did a survey one time at church. I had done this actually a couple of times, and said, does anybody have a notation in the margin of your Bible explaining that? And a couple of people had them, and they said, well, this is a hippopotamus. Well, if anybody's seen a hippopotamus at the zoo, the tail doesn't look like a mighty cedar moving around, does it? And somebody said, well, it's a donkey, a wild donkey. Well, I had donkeys when we were growing up, and their tail couldn't be described as a mighty cedar. So, well, it's an elephant. Well, an elephant's tail isn't described as a mighty cedar. And it says, he moveth his tail like a cedar, the sinews of his stones are wrapped together, his bones are strong as pieces of brass, his bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring forth food where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees in the covert of the reed and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow, and the willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierces through snares. And, you know, a straightforward reading of this sounds like a theropod dinosaur, not like an elephant or a hippopotamus or a wild donkey. And it's interesting, in these clay figurines, getting back to them, there were figurines of what we would call a theropod dinosaur. And if you remember that, remember the old Sinclair dinosaur? Remember the old gas stations? Well, here's the problem with that. In the 1940s, they thought that the theropod dinosaurs had smooth backs, but in 1992, they discovered they had spines or spikes on their backs. And guess what the figurines have? They have spines and spikes on their back. So if this was a hoax in the 1940s, they would have had smooth backs, but they made them with spines or spikes on their backs. And not only that, there was one that looked like an iguanodon, and the iguanodon, we know now since about the year 2000, they've determined that they have to alter the way that they picture iguanodons looking. And guess what the figurines look like? They look like what our modern understanding of the iguanodon was. So we have things that indicate, and these figurines are just one of many. We have things that indicate that there's dinosaurs and man coexisted for a time after the flood. The story of Beowulf, which many people might remember from school, one of the oldest poems that we have in the predecessor to our English language, and it describes an encounter with a dinosaur-like creature, Grendel. And so we see these things in place throughout all of our history. The Welsh flag has a dinosaur-like creature on the front of it called a dragon, which was the old term for dinosaur before we invented the word dinosaur. And Job has the encounter with a dinosaur in Job chapter 40 and chapter 41. Maybe the Bible's correct after all, don't you think?
Absolutely. And I always enjoy those reports you give, and I think they're outstanding. Well, today we're going to talk about the devil. I've been hearing people on television and so on, they've been suddenly talking about the devil. And sometimes I don't know if they get right to the heart of what the devil's all about, but he's a spirit being that was created by God, and he led the angel choir in heaven. He was very beautiful, very powerful, and he was the leader of the choir in the praise of God. And one day his heart was full of pride, and he rebelled against God and took a lot of the angelic beings with him, and he was cast out. And so the Bible says, here's what it says about him. In Genesis chapter 3, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field." So he was much more intelligent than any beast of the field, and much more intelligent than most human beings are today too, and which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said." Now, yea would be yes, so he starts out agreeing. You know, there's certain groups that I remember they would come to your house, and you couldn't. I think it was the Mormons that they missionaries, and you'd have to go a while to get them to disagree. They want to agree with you on so many things, but if you got into what they were actually teaching, it was far different from what the Bible taught or what you really believe. But that comes much later as you are indoctrinated into their particular set of beliefs. But anyway, so he comes in agreeing, and there's a lot of groups that do that. Some of the things that you see on television, they don't come on an out-and-out attack on Christianity, but it's a subtle attack in the end, and there's a lot of groups and a lot of teachers that do that. And so he says, yes, he was very agreeable. Then he says, "Hath God said?" Now, that's the whole goal of Satan. It's not just working in the bar, working with drugs, getting people on drugs. That's all secondary stuff. The main thing that Satan is all about, since he's a spiritual being, is to question the word of God. That's what it's all about. He says, "Yea, hath God said." And today, There are many teachers that are doing the work of the devil, and they're inspired by Satan because they're doing the work of the devil. So they are putting questions on the Word of God. And I tell you, the way they do it today to start with is on the radio, you hear many preachers, and the Bible talks about wolves in sheep's clothing, and they come and they sound very fundamental and very good, but they're promoting versions of the Bible, counterfeit Bibles that have all kinds of falsehood in them. And furthermore, these Bibles disagree with each other in thousands of places. That is satanic. I mean, that's what the devil is all about, is questioning the Word of God. I don't know how you could ever do that more than be promoting a whole lot of versions that disagree with each other. Now, on the surface, like any counterfeit, you wouldn't see the disagreements, but the words, and the words add up, have basic fundamental disagreements. For instance, a lot of these versions, they question Mark 16:9-20, which is the resurrection of Christ. And by the way, the ancient manuscripts are probably about 100-1 in favor of it. They question God was manifest in the flesh. And again, the majority of ancient manuscripts agree with God was manifest in the flesh. It's the received text. They question, it goes on and on, 1 Timothy and many other places, 3:16, it was great as the mystery of God. God was manifest in the flesh. We mentioned that, but they question that. And so the modern ones, they'll say that Jesus, in Luke 2:33, they called Joseph his father when Jesus had just rebuked Mary for saying that publicly, although she knew better, you know. So it is putting today, these versions that are being put out have put every word of the Scripture under question. And that's why we have this program. And you notice that, I've got to say this, you notice most programs are asking for money, and I'm not really knocking them for doing it. You notice we haven't done that? I just say that it's God that's given us the finances for this thing. And it goes worldwide. It's on all over the world, on every continent on the world, they're picking it up, and we're getting we know this because we're getting thousands of hits on the website of people listening from these different countries. But God wants us to say this. You know, the Bible says, Peter says that we saw Christ in all of his glory, and we heard the voice of God the Father. And you think if you saw Christ and heard the voice of God the Father, you say, boy, then I'd really know the truth. But Peter says we have something more sure than seeing Christ in all of his glory and hearing the voice of God the Father. And then he says, no scripture is of private interpretation, for holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so then he says that, and so he says the scripture is more sure. Now, today, we don't have that situation today. I mean, as far as they're questioning it all the time. But I say God says it, that this true scripture is more sure than seeing Christ in all his glory and hearing the voice of God the Father. And we have it in the King James Bible. You say, well, how can you be so sure? Very simply, because God said there would be many that corrupt the word of God. So that means even if you found manuscript from the second and third century, it doesn't necessarily mean you'd find the true word of God. But in the Bible itself, even in the counterfeit Bibles, it describes what the word of God is. In many, many places. And the description does not fit the counterfeits. It only fits the King James. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. And so the King James Bible, since it came out, it's gone through, it's been here for 400 years, and there's been 200 translations at a minimum. And Christians just reject them. And go right on. Today, polls show that even the next generation or the generation coming in, the people that read it every day are reading the King James more than all the rest of the counterfeits put together. And people say they can't understand it. Listen, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit will help you understand it. I remember one guy got saved and went to my church, and people always told him, well, you can't understand it. I says, I'll tell you what, you just start reading it and think about what you can understand. And I said, don't worry about what you don't understand. After all, God wrote it, and he's got an infinite mind. And after he started reading, he says, I can understand that. Well, he can understand it because he was born again, and the Holy Spirit is the one that explains it. But I'm saying that these modern ones, they're counterfeits. And what we've been trying to tell you is that they'll say the Greek text. Well, there's all kinds of Greek text out there, and they disagree with each other. I said there's many Greek texts out there as Carter had liver pills. I mean, they're just everywhere, you know. And every one of these translations is based on a different Greek text. Now, the true word of God, the King James, is based on the received text that has come down to us from the apostles. We mentioned last week the Old Latin Bible, man, came out long before the Vulgate and Vaticanus and Sinaiticus that they use. And the Syriac Peshitta came out long before that. And the Koine Greek came out. Greek professors always say it was based on the Koine Greek. Well, textual criticism and all that kind of nonsense, you know, says that the reading has to be more difficult. In other words, it was classical Greek, which was more difficult Greek words. But all of these have come down to us today, and they represent 99% of the evidence, over 99%. They back up the readings of the King James. Now, some of you don't even realize there's a difference. And there's books out today. You know, you could read, for instance, Gail Riplinger's New Age Bible versions, and you'll see there's 2,500 differences, scripture verses, and you can check them out for yourself. And she gives the implications of the changes. They don't say the same. You know, it bothers me, really disturbs me. I listened, they play Moody Station at my house, and I listened to them preaching on the station, and they're reading from a modern version, but they're not synonyms. Those words, the words don't mean the same thing. God is not the author of confusion. And you know, even back in D.L. Moody's day, he had to face the same thing because Westcott and Hort, they went to listen to Moody. And they sort of put him, they didn't knock him, but they just poured him down a little bit as he was sort of uneducated, you know, and they act pompous about it. And they put out what was the Pope's Vatican Bible put out by Constantine. So they said, Moody said in his writings, he said, for Christian unity, keep the scripture Bible as it is. And he was talking about the King James. Now listen to that, you professors at Moody and you professors that are on the radio there. Why don't you go by what D.L. Moody said? You're using his name. If you use his name, why not believe what Moody believed? He believed in the King James Bible. And the word of God liveth and abideth forever. It keeps right on going, and it's been attacked for 100 years, and it all falls. Now listen, less than 1%. So the devil says, yea, if God said. Now you know what's going on today. And then what did they do? I get back to them. So what does Eve do? Eve comes out and she changes the word of God. God said, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat thereof, for the day you eat of it you will surely die. So she puts out a revision. It's amazing. I hear preachers discussing this, and they miss that point. She revised the Bible. And what does she leave out? She leaves out freely. She adds, neither shall ye touch it. And God said, you will surely die. And she said, lest you die. She put on a question. And then the devil answered, well, you won't surely die, you know. And you won't. And so the devil says, you know, all is well. All is well. There is no hell. You know, he gets the... They're future air-conditioned. But no, the Bible says you'll surely die. You'll be separated from God in hell. That's what the Bible teaches. You know, the modern ones, instead of translating hell as hell, they translate it as Hades. Why didn't they translate it? Now, Jesus explained the meaning of that word. It's hell, see? And so, what do you have today? Changing God's word. And yet the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And thy word is true from the beginning. And we have it in the King James Bible. And we can trust it. We can put our faith in it. And it's our evidence that we have eternal life. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor, and I'll give you rest. And he says, I'll never cast you out. And that's how we know we're saved. And that'll give us peace and give us joy. But you know, they say the word of God says, but they have no word of God. They talk about the originals. Nobody has the originals. But we have it. It says we can look at it. We can handle it. And so today, thank God for it. We can trust it. In thy word do I trust, and we can have it. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.